certainly his many blessings of life, and we thank him for this day that he's given us. Certainly wasn't promised to us, and we should be thankful for every day we get among the living. Storms will come, and dark clouds will come to all of our homes and families. But God is still good, not just some of the time. But God is good all of the time. We are appreciative to those who have come to support the family at this time of their bereavement and loss of a loved one. And we're thankful for the brothers and sisters in Christ who have the love of God that can come and support this family. And we know that's what the church is for. We're a family. And we sing a song called God's Family. And the song says, sometimes we laugh together. Sometimes we cry. Sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs. There are times when we dream together how it's going to be when the saved get to heaven as God's family. To Sister Coverson, this will be the first funeral I could say understand what it is to lose the other part. And it's a feeling that no one can explain, and no one can feel it for you. But I empathize with you, and I understand in a different way than I would have understood before. So I just say what people say, how you doing? I say, well, trying to do good. And that's what it's all about, trying to do good. So I wanted to say that to her first, just from a personal perspective. You truly lose another part when you've been with someone a long time. You married him. And that's something no one can talk about until they do it. We know this, that God is in the plan. Providentially, God provides. God makes decisions about death, not us. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, there's a judgment. So we're here today to comfort a family, and the eulogy has been done, Brother Ron's eulogy has been done. And what a eulogy it was, right? A lot of great things. Brother Ron was certainly someone, sometimes he'd say something and it'd take me a few minutes to catch what he meant. And then he's one of them kind of guys. He'd say something, you'd think, what that mean? And he'd look at you like this. But it had a powerful meaning in most cases. And so I'm thankful to have known him. So the family, we know that God is going to get you through because he's the God of all comfort. They comforted us. In all our tribulations. He let us go through things to get experiences so we could help others. So there are steps through this whole process. One is a shock when you first hear you lose a loved one. And that makes you wail and cry. And it just seems like you just can't stop crying. Shock. Makes you think about life in a different way. And that's what death's supposed to do. Many people call this a funeral. If you've ever heard me preach, you know I say this every time. It's not called a funeral in the Bible. It's called a house of mourning. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, and he says that it's better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men. So we're in a state of mourning, which is the best state to be in the eyesight of God. Death is intended to bring us into a state of mourning. Now, the world wants to turn it into a state of feasting. But God has said feasting is not what's better for us. What's better for us is that we mourn. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. When we're in a state of sorrow, sorrow is better than laughter. Meaning that when we're in a state of sorrow, our hearts are open to receive God's word. And that's what death's supposed to do for us. And that's today, a few minutes I will share with you from the word of God the things that I believe are important, and also I believe that Brother Coverson would want me to do. It was last, I'm not sure whose funeral it was, but it wasn't long ago that he, after the funeral, I preached the funeral, and it was in the foyer where he stopped me and gave me instructions. And I just said to him, well, you may die before I do. But he had told me, you know what I want when I die. And I understood what he meant. And I'm going to do just that. Brother Ron has a beautiful family, grandchildren, daughter, son, and the rest of his family. I've even got to know Sister Coverson's family. Chippy, me and her are going to become close friends. And I always say make a friend no matter what you do. At the end of the day, we're going to face God in judgment. So I was reading the obituary, and I don't ever write a sermon for a funeral. I always try to just take a thought and share it. And what captured my attention in his obituary, Ronnie's greatest joy and most important achievement, it wasn't the master's degree, it wasn't a degree he got in education. It wasn't going to Vietnam. It wasn't working at the chemical plant. None of those were his greatest achievement. His greatest achievement was coming to know the truth. And that's a definite article, the truth. And conjunction to that was obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. Over 30 years, and he was taught by a brother that's in the audience today, and was a previous minister to his congregation, Brother Robert Harper, and his wife Patsy are here today. And he continued, though, after learning the truth, even in his sick moments at the hospital, it's recorded here in his obituary, that even while he was a patient in various hospitals, he tried to share. This time it says that truth. I want to talk about that truth. There is the truth, there is truth, and then it is that truth. Okay. It was something about the word try, because there's a that truth that he was trying to get across to some people. What is that truth that Ron would want me to talk about, that he would even try to get across to his nurses and those who cared for him? And what made him ready to tell his wife, I'm ready to go home? He thought he was talking about go home. He wasn't talking about go home. He was talking about go home to be with God. It was something about that truth that caused him to be able to, the passages of scriptures that were favorite in his mind, and Philippians 4. Something about that truth that he wanted others to know about that would cause him to have a peace that was past understanding. It was that truth. What is that truth? Pilate had to face Jesus in John 18. And Pilate, in verse 37, said unto Jesus, "Art thou the king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest I'm a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth." There it is. And then he says, "Everyone that is of the truth," the truth, "hears something. They hear it, my voice." Everyone that, this is Jesus saying, that is of the truth, hear it, my voice. Pilate said unto him, "What is truth?" Jesus, on his way out, told his disciples, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father but by me." So what would I do? I want to come and tell the family, friends, and those who he wanted to hear that truth. What is that truth that Brother Harper taught him? What did Ron Coverson believe? How did he die? Balaam said in Numbers 23:10, to die the death of a righteous man. In 1 Peter 3:12, the Bible said, "The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers." He died the death of a righteous man. How do you do that? You got to know that truth. See, the truth is, not everyone go to heaven. That's that truth. You say, well, how do we determine what's the truth and that truth? Well, there's only one book that tells us what we believe as truth is called the Bible. And some say it's basic instructions before life ends. I say it's believers' instructions. Because basic is won't save you. Believers' instructions before life ends. No one can have the truth without believing the truth. Some of us make up truth. And we believe we say it because our truth is what we believe. But what truth did he believe? He believed the truth according to the scripture. And all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instructions in righteousness. So he was instructed in righteousness when Brother Harper taught him. What did he believe when it pertains to worship? Well, he believed according to the truth, which we get from the scripture. What we believe that the Bible has absolute right answers. It's the truth. And we hear the voice of Jesus when we read the truth. And the truth is that the way they worshiped in the Bible was a New Testament worship. When Jesus spoke, you notice we have no instrumental music, no mechanical instruments of music, because that didn't come from his voice. Remember? He said, "He that know the truth heard my voice." So the New Testament is called the doctrine of Christ or the teachings of Christ. And he taught his apostles. And then they wrote the New Testament And we followed a pattern of worship that the apostles wrote about, who were with Jesus. It's also called the apostles' doctrine. So when we worship in the churches of Christ, we sing. Where do you get that truth from? Ephesians 5:19. That's that truth. So we sing. That's what we did in worship. We pray in worship. We take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. Say, well, we take it on the first Sunday. That's not that truth he was talking about. That truth that he believed, that truth that came from Scripture tells us in Acts 20, verse 7, that the disciples came together to break bread on the first day of the week. That's Sunday. That truth he wanted people to know. In John 6:53, Jesus said, except the man eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, he have no life in him. Every Sunday, he believed the truth was you commune every Sunday. That's that truth. That truth stayed away from doctrines and commandments of men. That truth, according to Matthew 15:8, he said, this people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, honor me with their lips, and heart is far from me. In vain they worship me. Truth, that truth says there's a thing called vain worship, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. So in that truth, we have no man-made covenants on the wall. We have no catechism. We have no Baptist manual. We have no Methodist discipline, because those are called doctrines and commandments of men. That's that truth. When you look at truth, it must be according to Scripture. And do we take a collection? He would give to the collection plate. We didn't tithe according to that truth that he believed. It was given upon the first day of the week. 1 Corinthians 16:1, let every one of you lay by a store. God has prospered you. There be no gathering when I come. We give as cheerful givers, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loved a cheerful giver. I'm just telling you what the truth was that he believed. Now, at the end of the day, you're going to believe what you want to believe and die what you want to die believing. So what would Brother Coverson was running around trying to get everybody to see? There is a that truth, and then there's your truth. But your truth won't get you saved. It's going to take that truth. Now, a couple more things I want to point out. I'm just simply going through what he worshiped, how he worshiped, and his belief when it comes to worship. He believed that. Singing. He believed in praying. He believed in taking communion every Sunday. He believed in collection. He didn't believe in tithing. Tithing was 10%. But it wasn't just money. It was goats, sheep. You don't see nobody doing none of that today. Because that's Old Testament. Brother Ron was a New Testament Christian. Amen. Just since you didn't, maybe you didn't know, there was no Christians in the Old Testament. Christians are in the New Testament. They were called Christians first in Antioch because it required Jesus dying before there could ever be anyone called a Christian. And before he died, he left instructions called the doctrine of Christ. And that's what we believe. Now, he believed in the preached word, and that's what we do. I preach the word on Sundays, and that's what he heard and believed. So what did he do? That's what he believed. So what else did he believe? He believed in the Bible. He believed in one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all and in you all. He believed in one body. Now, none of us have a problem with one Lord. That's Jesus. We don't believe in Buddha and Muhammad. That's not us. We believe in this book called the Bible. That's the one Lord. That's Jesus. We believe in one faith, that's the Bible. One God, that's God the Father. One Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit. And here's the one that's going to shock most people. There's something called one body. What was that truth about the one body? That truth about the one body is Ephesians 1:22 tell us, the body is the church. Colossians 1:18, the body is the church. Colossians 1:24, the body is the church. So if the body is the church and there's one body, that means for most of us who have basic education, there's one church. You don't have to have a PhD to get it. You don't have to go to DeVry University. Is that what he taught? You don't have to go there to get it. He probably wasn't teaching that there. He was teaching math. But I'm sure he taught one means one. So what did Brother Ron believe? One church? He said, well, Brother Brooks, hold on. Yes, that's what he believed. That's the faith, the truth, that truth. He said, well, which one is it? You have to ask yourself that question when you're in America. Because America's constitutional freedom says attend the church of your choice. Well, then should we have a choice in God's, choice in Jesus, a choice in the Holy Spirit? We should have a choice in all of those. But that truth doesn't give us choices. There's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if we can find the one God in this book, if we can find the one Spirit, Holy Spirit in this book, if we can find the one Jesus in the book, certainly God wouldn't have left out the one church. Amen. So which one is it, Brother Brooks? Well, here's what Ronnie believed. According to Romans 16:16, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. You say, well, we all believe in Christ. That's not what we're talking about, all of us believing. Believing in Christ is one thing. Hearing his voice and obeying it is another thing. Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Many will say to me that day, Lord, do we not prophesy in your name? These are not Muslims. These are Christians, people who believed. These are believers. He said to them, did we not? They asked him, they said, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name done many wonderful works? Sound like good people to me. Good believers, good works they done. But the shock would come in the statement in verse 23 that Jesus made to him. He said this, depart from me, I never knew you. You were a worker of iniquity. What does that mean? You came up with your own truth, your own law, and that's how you died. My friends, Ronnie wouldn't want you to do that. Don't come up with your own truth, because he is the truth. Jesus was. You can't make up truth. You got to read it and believe it. That's why we say the Church of Christ. We don't condemn others. We're just sticking with that truth. Ain't nothing wrong with that. There's something wrong with getting away from that truth. There's something wrong with not teaching that truth. So that's what he believed. Now, here's what he was told to be saved. Brother Harper taught him the gospel. What is the gospel, Brother Brooks? The story. How God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him. How is that quoted, y'all? Can y'all quote that with me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him. If you say it shall, it's misquoted. Because that's the way America quotes it. And if you say it shall, I want to be the first to tell you that I informed you that's a misquote. And the reason you're quoting it like that, because America's favorite doctrine is called grace. Shall means all I got to do is believe. But the truth is, in that truth, in John 3:16, he says, should. You should not perish. It doesn't say shall not. Now, if I just said something you didn't know, consider the other things I just said as well. Should not perish. Because God gave his only son for you. Greater love had no man than him. They beat him with a whip. They spit on him. They slapped him. The truth was crowned with a crown of thorns. The truth. They put a cross on his back. The truth. They led him up a hill called Calvary. The truth. They drove nails in truth's hand. Grace was on that cross. He was grace and truth. He was on the cross with nails in his hands and in his feet. Truth hung 6 hours. Truth gave his life to save us. And we should not perish if we believe his voice. The truth is that they took him down and they buried him in a borrowed tomb. the truth is he resurrected with power, and he gave a command what man must do to be saved. And he said this in Mark 16, 15 and 16. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's what he was taught. He believed that that death, burial, and resurrection, and Brother Ron was baptized for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. We believe that sins were washed away in baptism. He didn't believe in a sinner's prayer. Lord, I'm a sinner, come into my heart. That's not in the Bible, nowhere. The truth that he believed that baptism was essential for salvation. He believed that when you're baptized, according to Revelation 1:5, there was blood in that water that washed your sins away. Brother Ron believed he received the Holy Spirit at that time. And Brother Ron believed that he was added to the body of Christ, the church of Christ. And that's where he died. And then when you can say, blessed is the dead that die in the Lord. To die in the Lord is to die in his body. To die in his body is to die in his church. So blessed are the dead that die in the church. That's who's blessed. You say, well, Brother Brooks, I don't believe what you're saying, and I don't agree with you. Well, that's, at the end of the day, everyone will stand to God before themselves. But my record will show that on December the 8th, 2018, your record will show that Brother Brooks shared with you that truth. And it's that truth that this man was trying to share with his nurses and everybody else. Why? Because he loved you. That's why. He loved the people. He loved his soul. And he loved your soul. I believe that with all my heart. And I know he would want me to tell you just what I just told you. Now, I spoke the truth in love. Amen. I did that. I did that because I know this. I could take the picture today. He was a photographer. But next year this time, somebody in this audience, more than likely your face would have been unfaded from the picture. Because as it came to Brother Ron, so shall it come to you. But can you say you didn't know that truth? No, you can't. I took it from you. I intentionally took that from you. You can't never say you didn't know. You can say you didn't believe it, but you can't say you didn't know. And Jesus said, if any man heareth these words of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him as a wise man. If any man heareth these words of mine and doeth them not, I will liken unto him as a foolish man would build this house on the sand. And the winds came and blew and fell upon that house, and great was the fall. The greatest fall any of us could have is to die outside of Christ. Amen. Outside of the body of Christ. That's what Brother Ron wanted everyone to know. Amen?
Amen.
So here's the steps of salvation. You hear the death, burial, and resurrection. Acts 15:7. You believe with all your heart. Acts 15:7. Hebrews 11:6. You repent. Luke 13:3. When you're not doing it his way and you're doing it your way, you got to repent. You got to change that. You got to go the truth, not your truth, that truth. And that truth will save you. Your truth won't. You must confess him before me and that he is the Son of God. Matthew 10:32. You must say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Acts 8:37. Then after, you must be baptized, buried, a death, a burial, and a resurrection. As Jesus was, death on the cross, buried in a tomb, resurrected. Baptism, Romans 6:3, is a death of the sinner, burial of the sinner. Under the water, sins are washed away. Receive the Spirit of God. You resurrect the new man, born again. That's what it means. You got to break water to go birth, have birth. You got to break the water of a baptism, and then your new birth. That's a new creature in Christ. Then the Lord, the last step, he adds you to the church of Christ. And there you must remain faithful to the teachings or the doctrine of Christ. Amen. That's that truth that you must obey. And then living faithful according to the truth is the only way you can get to heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Sister Ron, I done what he whispered in my ear, and y'all didn't hear it. I heard the conversation. I know what he meant, and he said it the way he said it, and I did it the way I would want him to do it for me. I do kept his word, I hope. I want you to know that I love you and the family as a whole, and the Hollow Heights love you, and all the people here love you all.
Amen.
We love you. We love the whole family, and we want you all to know we're going to be here for you to continue to help you through as the hard days are coming, not just today, but others. Days ahead will certainly be difficult, but you know what helped me is that God has said he'll never leave us, nor will he forsake you. Somebody said he said he not going to put no more on us than we can bear, but I ain't never read that. That's a good saying, though. You cannot be tempted above that. That's the talk of temptation. But God is there for his children. His eyes are over the righteous, and his ears are open. The spiritual blessing you have is prayer power. That's how he blesses you. Because you can talk to him as a child to a father, and he pities you. And God will come through to answer your prayers. And that's what you hold on to. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. To the family, we record these sermons. To the friends, we record them. They are free. How y'all like that word, free? Free. You're welcome to them. We have them ready out right after the service is here. We'll be going on the other side. The CDs are available. You should listen to these things. Consider what I've said. Think about what Ron wanted you to know. And ask yourself, can I share that same truth? If not, consider it. Consider it. Amen?
Amen.
So we'll turn it back in the hands of the master. May God bless you.